if we ran out of time last time, we were discussing the believability of physicians to comment on the existence of a maka or other related issues. We have to finish that discussion. So before that, let's just take a step back and summarize the positions that we discussed last time about the location of a maka of a makor and expand on that a little bit, and then we'll move forward and continue. Basically, there were three primary approaches. Some of these approaches could have nuanced sub-differences, but we'll call three primary approaches among later poskim as to what, if any, maka, the makor, could constitute a maka that one could be tola dam an and render the woman Torah. So the more liberal position is that of the Tzitz Eliezer, that the Rishon Lezion is quoted as saying in Nishmas Avraham, possibly the position of the Devar Shmuel and Siman Ayin Aleph, possibly the Chazon Ish, at least partially, the Chazon Ish and Siman Pei Aleph and Sefer, that even a maka b'makor could constitute an acceptable source of a Taliyah, even if the dam is coming from the endometrial lining itself. That's still considered dam from a maka, which would be tahora. The formulation of the Tzitz Eliezer was that any dam that doesn't come out through a natural process is not considered dam nida. And presumably, I have to say, for that position of the Tzitz Eliezer, obviously, as we pointed out, there are many instances in the Gemara, many instances in Shulchan Aruch, of outside sources that cause bleeding that is dam nidus, pizza and pachad and different foods. So those are, even though it's an external stimulus, but the nature of that bleeding is the same as the regular bleeding of the normal cycle, as opposed to a maka, which is a different kind of bleeding, whereby even if it comes out of the same endometrial lining that would normally produce dam nidus, would be dam that is tahor. So that's position number one. Position number two was a distinction that we saw the Chazon Ish wrote in his letters to Dr. Taub, that if you have a dam maka b'makor, which causes blood to come out machma srita from a scratch, just as if you were to scratch a different part of the body, that would cause a part of the body to bleed. If you scratch the uterus, that causes the uterus to bleed. That's the kind of dam maka which would not be in the tame. We pointed out it's difficult to understand exactly what the gather that is. Later posts could struggle with where you draw the line. That would be position number two. Rabbi Willig is more inclined to accept this kind of a position, at least with other snifim, if there are other factors to include in the mix as well. And then the most conservative position is the position that Reshechter thinks is correct, l'halacha. Reshechter's lumdus is based on Asaf Nespanech, as we discussed last time, but the position that for all intents and purposes, any maka that comes from the endometrial lining in the makor is considered a problematic source of blood that would create a nidus. The term that uses is a chelik haspogi, the sponge part of the uterus, which is what we call the endometrial lining. So any dam coming from there, even if it causes a maka, is going to be tamei. Says for Shechter's position Lemaisa, that's Rabbi Neuberger's general orientation Lemaisa, and that was Rabbi Morgenstern's orientation in the Sefer Pesachei Das that we discussed last time as well. Rabbi Morgenstern does distinguish, as we noted, between a maka in the endometrial lining, which would be problematic, and a maka in the muscle above the endometrial lining, which would not necessarily be problematic, but as a practical matter, it's my understanding is almost impossible to distinguish in practice or to identify dam machas maka, which is coming exclusively from the muscle and not from the endometrial lining as well. I was talking to Rabbi Neuberger this week about some of these issues. He pointed out to me that even though the general presentation, the way we presented it, is that the Chazon Ish in the letter takes a more macro position than the Chazon Ish in the Sefer. Chazon Ish in the Sefer allows for dam, even if it's coming out of the endometrial lining, machmas maka, to be tahar, the Chazon Ish in the Sefer sounds like across the board, a maka in the endometrial lining could make a woman tahara, as opposed to in the letter, where he distinguishes between a kind of maka that's like a scratch, and a kind of maka which is machmas, some trauma, which would be regular dam nidus. So that's generally presented as the Chazon Ish letter taking a more restrictive position as to what maka can make a woman tahara. But Rabbi Neuberger found out to me if in the formulation of the Chazon Ish in Sefer, there is a potential chumra there as well, because there he's only talking about a maka that comes out, or dam that comes out of a actual maka. Lashon is Hababuos Motzios Dam. So that's, it sounds like a fibroid or some actual presentation on the lining itself, which is Motzi Dam. But from this formulation, if you had a gynecological procedure, an invasive gynecological procedure that caused dam to come out of the endometrial lining, so that's not a babua, that's not a fibroid, that's not a polyp, that's not a outside growth on the maca, that's a imposition onto the uterus that causes bleeding, so that's not necessarily included in his babuos, but according to the formulation in the letter, that still is machmasrita. So let's say you perform a gynecological procedure that scrapes something off the uterus. So according to the Chassanishin letter, that would be damaka, which would be okay, as opposed to, according to this reading of the Chassanishin Sefer, that might be problematic because it's not a babua, it's not a fibroid or the like that's already there as a present maka. Okay. One more ha'ara on something we discussed, I think, 2 times ago. We noted that in practice, both the Chavastas and the Sidre Tyra, which seems to be the consensus position of Poskim, is that even if you establish that there is a maka, even if you're able to be tola a dam coming out on the maka, but a woman who is Tamea still has to go through a minimally a Hefsek Tyra, and according to the Chavastas and in the end according to the Sidre Tyra, at least a day one bidika as well in order to make her tahora. So it's true that you can attribute the source of the dam to a maka, but you still need at least a hefsek tahora to be mosi her from a ches kastuma in order to then render her tahora at the end of 7 days. So according to that position, which is the, I guess, more generally accepted position, you'd have to figure out how to do a proper hefsek tahora and bidika. There is a contrary position that Rav Avadia is willing to rely at least under extenuating circumstances, and that we have, among other places, in the Tshuvas Avne Milua. So the lumdus behind the position of the Chavastas and the Sidre Tara is that a woman is considered to be Becheskas Tameya until she performs a Hefsek Tara in a day one Bidika. In order to be mosi her from that Cheskas Tumah, she has to do something to change that mozakis, and that action is the Hefsek Tara and probably a day one bidika as well. But why, once she does at least the Hefsek Tara, then she's going to be becheskas tahora, and she can become tahora without any subsequent bidikas. But at least the Hefsek Tara you need in order to be mosi her mecheskas tumah. The Avne Miluim assumes something a little bit different. The Avne Miluim has tshuvas printed in the back of the sefer. So in Simim Kaf Gimel, the Avne Miluim argues that even before a Hefsek Tara, a woman going through the regular process of Tumas Nida is not considered to be a Sazik Yisura. Even before the Hefsek Tara, she doesn't have a Cheskas Tumah. What's his Raya? His Raya is from the famous Tosas and Gita and Daf Beis on Beis. Tosas assumes what's the source for Eid Echa Nema and Bisurin, right? Tosas says Eid Echa Nema and Bisurin. We learn from Besafra La Liatma. We learn from Nida that a woman has Namanis to be in charge of her own Sfiras Shivan Akiyam. So you see from there, it says Tosos, Dima Maskal Eid Echa on Beis and Beis and Gittin, that a woman has, or you see from there, Eid Echa Nema and Bisur. Then Tosos asks from Tamar, in Kena Filus Hasik Yisur, if that's the case. So we learn from Visafra Lala Atma, the woman has Namanos to counter Shivan Akiyam. We learn from there, Eid Echa Nema and Bisur. So you should learn Eid Echa Nema Bisur, even in the case of Hasik Yisur. Tosos assumes in the question that a woman who is now Tamei until she goes through Shivan Akiyam has the Cheskas Yisur. So why do you learn that from there? Ask Tosos that Eid Echa Nema Bisur, even where is the Cheskas Yisur, even where there's an existing Cheskas Yisur, and you're being mosi from a Cheskas Yisur. Tosos answers, V'yishlomar de'ena b'cheskas shevei roa kol shah, that even though she's Tamei, but it's not that strong a Chazaka, it's not such a strong Cheskas Tumah, because she's not presumed to be roa dam constantly. And after 7 days, she's going to be tahora mimela. The love is chazik yisura. But that's not really called the Sazi Hisura. Vigab Biyada Lipol also is considered Biyada because she has the keys to get out of the situation, so that's not a classic case of the Sazi Hisura, where the way out is out of your control. But the first thing Tosus there says, Tosus assumes, sounds like, that a woman, even when she is still Tameya, is not considered a Sazi Hisura. So Avin Yulun thinks that's a Raya, that maybe even before Hefsek Tara is not considered to be a strong test of Isser, and therefore, under extenuating circumstances, maybe you could even dispense with the initial Hefsek Tara in the case of Damaka, and she could be Tahara without any Bidikos whatsoever. That's the suggestion of Avin Yulun, Simen Kaf Gimel. That Tosa is talking about Bidikos, and he quotes a rhyme, the parallel rhyme there in that phase in Gittin. It sounds like even for a Hefsek Tara woman has Nemanus. So bottom line, the Avim Yulun suggests that in a situation of a Maka, a woman could get by without even performing a Hefsek Tara. Then the Avim Yulun argues that maybe a Hefsek Tara doesn't require an actual physical bidika. Maybe if a woman is sufficiently attuned to her body to be able to tell whether any dam is coming out, or whether there's any psichas amakor, then maybe that's sufficient hefsek tara. That she could be, if she's sufficiently attuned to what's going on inside her, that may be a halachically sufficient hefsek tara.
So, according to the Rambam, they would say that the husband has to show the woman her bidikah. So she said it was
according to
those Rambam on the Sabbath Mulan. The husband should have to show his bidikah both to the woman. The wife would have to show the bidikah both to the husband, so that it's not as bad as he's
doing. You mean the hefsek tara?
Yeah.
No, everyone agrees. Okay, so you have to figure out how to get out of that alumnus. I think, practically speaking, no one says that. So you have to work out the alumnus where we can carve out of that. Okay, so you have to work that out. Good. So Rav Avadya writes on page Reish Lama Gimel, Reish Lama Dalid, this is in still. Rav Avadya writes that this is a position of Avnei Miluim, it's a position of Nod Bihuda. He thinks that the Chasm Sofer, also the Chasm Sofer is a little bit less clear, that you could get away without a Hefsek Tara, that a woman, strictly speaking, is not considered to have a Cheskes Eser even before Hefsek Tara. So Rav Avadya says that if a person is in a situation where there's no other way out, there's no possibility of being the Tahir yourself, or herself, without dispensing with the Hefsek Tara, so then Rav Avadya writes, Yeshlo Amudei Barzel L'smochaleim, there are pretty big authorities that you can rely on, where there's no other grave. Other posts would say, well, Yashar is quoted as saying, I think here in the Pisca Das, that if a woman, if there's no way to do a Hefsek Tara, then she's going to remain Tamei L'Bailo. If Hefsek Tara is indispensable, which on some level I think is still the consensus position of Poskim, where Rav Avadya says that there's what to rely on if there's no other way out. So we pointed out a couple times ago that the general Mahalakim situation like this, if you could identify the existence of a Maka, and you see that Dam is coming out as a result of that Maka, so the way to have a Hefsek Tara and the minimal Bidika performed is to go to a medical professional, be it a gynecologist, if such a person is available, or more typically, there's a recent institution of what's called a bodeka tara, a medically trained woman who, maybe a nurse by training, who has the ability and the knowledge to identify, to see where the maka is, and then to perform a bidika there, strategically not touching the area where the maka is and going around the other area, or the rest of the, going around that area and missing the maka. So the way to do that would be what Rabbi Karp has and others, is that you could have this woman do the Hefsek Tara Sama Pushkia, and then stick around a little bit, and then do the first day one bidik at night. So we'll have to discuss when we talk about Shiva Nikiyam, under what circumstances of bidik could be done by Lila, but under these circumstances, there's what to rely on, and then you have to figure out whether you should try for a day 7 bidik. Also, I think Rabbi Willig is less inclined to push for a day 7 bidik. Rabbi Neuberger is more inclined. And we'll have to talk about that more when we get to Shin-Megid. One, definitely. That, to be mostly Mechaska Somi, definitely.
Yeah,
one, I'm sorry?
So after
according to the Chabad Sass and the Siddur Tower, you need a day one midik also.
I know, so they're all like that.
Right. Right, so that's the general, and Rabbi Karpa said that, I think the Piskei Das said that, that seems to be the more consensus position. The Badi Shulchan does discuss the following possibility. Badi Shulchan is in Siman Kuf Sadi Vav Seif Aleph in the Be'urim Dibur Maskel Kedei. Siman Kuf Sadi Vav Seif Aleph Be'urim Dibur Maskel Kedei. So the Badi Shulchan discusses that let's say you do a bedika, you do a hafiktar, you do a bedika, and you find dam. But the dam is positioned in such a way that it's clear that the dam is machmas makom. So you have a dot on the edge of the bedika cloth. So if it was regular dam nigos, then if there's dam coming out, you'd expect to find the dam all over in the middle. You wouldn't find it just in the edge. So you do multiple bedikas every time you see a spot of blood in the same place. So clearly, that's machmas maka. So maybe you could say that if every time you do bedika, you find a dam in the one spot, and that's clearly machmas maka, then that's still a good bedika. Because you're checking to see whether there's any dam coming, it's part of the natural process, any regular dam nidus. So you know there's no regular dam nidus coming. If she was still bleeding, so you'd see dam other places on the bedika cloth as well. So that's what's
called a good bedika.
So maybe that should be called a good bedika. So he quotes a Tshuvas Nefesh Chaya that the Darki Tshuva quotes in Sivkatun and Vav. Darki Tshuva Sivkatun and Vav quotes the Tshuvas Nefesh Chaya, stuff like that, that would be a good bedika. So Rav Avadia, Fayal Kohen raises this question: do we take such a position that if it was regular dam nidos, so then you'd see dam all over the bedika cloth, not just on the side? So maybe that should be a sufficient bedika. Badi Shulchan says, in conclusion, that you should ask a shaylo. Good advice. So he doesn't say what would happen if you asked him the shaylo. He says you should ask a shaylo. In the Sefer Pua, which I just borrowed from Rabbi Willig, which apparently looks like they're planning on coming out with 5 volumes. This is volume 1. I'm not sure if they've come out with volume 2 yet. So the collection of the Sakan gathered by Machon Pua, he quotes on page 171 from Mordechai Eliyahu, former Sephardi chief rabbi, who is a big supporter of Machon Pua, that you could rely on such a position that if every time you do bedik, you see dam in the same place and it's clearly attributable to a maka, then that would be a halachically acceptable bedika. Page 171. It's missing from the library. According to the catalog, it should be somewhere in the library. It wasn't taken out, but we haven't been able to find it, so I borrowed Rabbi Willis' copy. Yeah?
I'm going to this opinion, but I got a gynecologist to check around.
Well, you need to establish that there's a maka, so you'd have to go to the professional to establish that there is a maka, but then you wouldn't need to rely on that professional to do the bedika. You could do the bedika yourself if you do it sensitively, not to aggravate anything, and the only dam that comes out is a dam where you could tell that it's from the maka. Already asked me a few days ago whether the institution of a bodeket is uncontroversial. So I thought it was uncontroversial, but Rabbi Willick pointed out to me that Rabbi Morgenstern here in the Pispei Das, in the appendix to one of these chapters, has a whole diatribe against Bodkot Tahara, although it could be his issues are more with the scene in Israel than in America. And he writes here, the end of Perek Yud Zayin. Toyot mutziyot betliya bedamaka michoser bekiyos on emanus. So he says he heard from a doctor, was a Reish Shemayim, Mumcha, Mefursam, who lived somewhere in Chutz Laaretz, that there were women who would come to him with shaylos whether he had a maka to be matir dam on a bedika cloth. And He would check and he wouldn't find anything. And Lamar Ba'akala, lo and behold, right after he checked, they would go to an Achot Bodeket, and then the Achot found a Makor.
Sounds like this is
America. This, he says, Chutz La'aretz. Chutz La'aretz, as New York centric as we may be, Chutz La'aretz is still bigger than America. And he says, they say the same thing, Eretz Yisrael. So what's the problem? That if you're going to poke around in the sensitive area, you may cause a maka. So you have to know how you're looking and what you're looking for, and be careful not to cause anything when you're poking around, so to speak. He writes, if some of these people are trained with the orientation to find makos, so they think they're doing a better job if they find a maka. But one of these people is talking to a doctor, and the doctor said, the way you check, then everyone's going to have a maka, because by the time you're done with them, if there wasn't a maka before, there's one now. So he's very skeptical about a certain boat coat. Well, Rabbi Willig and Rabbi Neuberger said to me that the bokot that are used around here, which are relatively few in number, are all people anyway with medical training, not just people who take a course and study for a few hours how to do this, but people who are at least trained nurses with medical training who've done similar things before. Very clear guidelines as to how to look and how to report back to the Rav. Could be more are needed, but at least on the American, the local scene, there are people who do are available to provide the service, who are well trained, Yirei Shemayim, who know what they're doing and know how to report back to a Rav with what they find, so that the Rav can make an educated or give an educated psak.
In terms of the shaila that was Mordechai Eliyahu,
yeah.
I don't think so.
I think he recommends having the bodeka do the bodeka.
And if she's meaning even
in the bodeka or the gynecologist or whoever's doing the bodeka knows how to.
If you don't have one around, let's say he wouldn't say that you can.
If you don't have a rep, well, then you need someone to establish that there's a mock also. So you need you have to find someone like that anyway.
Well, here's the point: is that you wouldn't. Here you just rely on the fact that...
Why does he know there's a maka? You need someone to tell you there's a maka.
That's for sure.
Right.
Once you know there's a maka. Mm-hmm. Even if they're getting the same dot every single time.
They still don't know there's a maka, they have to find the maka.
Okay.
But the other thing Rabbi Willig points out, as a practical matter, is that if a woman either is in a situation where there is a known or potential maka, or a woman is undergoing a gynecological procedure that could result in dam, so it should be, in his lashon, managed properly, meaning that you just make sure that any dam, if there's a little bit of dam that's going to come out, it'll have the din of a kesa, not a beria. So make sure that you're only wearing sivonim, and make sure that if it's going to fall out of the davar shein makabel tuma, it'll be less than a gris. So usually, in many situations, it's manageable to knock it down to a kesem, so then it's much easier to work with. Again, leaving aside if it's at the point where the woman's tamei anyway has to do bedikos, so that has to be navigated as well. Okay, so let's go back to where we left off, that the general believability of doctors. So we saw in Shulchan Aruch, Siman Kuf Pei Zayin Seif Ches, 2 days in Shulchan Aruch, in the context of Roh Machnas Tashmish, which is also transferable to Mach in general, can it be someich on a Rofei or a Fuah to assume that the problem of Ramat Matashmish has been solved. Yesh Mishamatir Amr La Rofe Yisrael Nisrapis. Right, so we saw that was the Shaila of Sefer Truma, who didn't distinguish between a non-Jewish doctor and a Jewish doctor. Can you rely on a doctor Bechlal against a Cheskas Tuma? So I think what we left off with last time was Rav Avadia points out that even if you're Choshesh for the position of Machmirim and the Sefer Truma, but if you were to have two doctors who testify Zeh Shelo B'fnei Zeh, that there is a Maka, or whatever the testimony that they're giving is, so then you're not relying on Edechet anymore, you're relying on two Edims. Even if it is a Chazik Yisura, but you have two independent Edim, they have Ne'amonos, at least in a situation where there's a Chazak of Uman Lamarim Naseh, so a medical professional has his reputation on the line, he's not going to say something where he could be caught afterwards as having given misinformation. So if it's only one aid, so then you could have a shayla. Maybe even if Uman Lomarum Naseh, if it's an Edef and Edu is Kazik Yisura, maybe it doesn't have Naimanis. But if you can have two doctors, two Edim, so then definitely you can be Matir.
If you go to the Jewish, then
I'm sorry?
If you want to be Jewish males?
See, the Rabbi is talking about two Jewish males. If you're lying in Uman Lomarum Naseh, so then even if it's a single non-Jewish doctor, if you have Uman Lomar Mnose, that may be sufficient. That's what there's a Shuvas Marsham who talks about that. Shuvas Marsham Chelik Aleph Simen Kaf Dalid. Shuvas Marsham Chelik Aleph Simen Kaf Dalid. He quotes earlier Achonim that if you have a non-Jewish midwife, she has Nehemiah to say that there's a Maka, because it's a Milsa de Vidila Gluye. If you'd be able to prove her wrong, if it's not true. Red line with Dover. So the value points out, bottom line, that common practice is to rely on doctors independently, even a single doctor, even a non-Jewish doctor, because of the fact that it's Uman Lamar of Nase, he has his professional reputation on the line by a Milsa David de Lugluye, that you'll be able to catch him if he's not telling the truth. So in that situation of Uman Lamar of Nase by Milsa David de Lugluye, you could be Mekel, Sam.
Do we say Uman Rasam Nasseh when you have to go to another doctor to prove them wrong? Because in this case, the entire point you're going to doctors because you can't prove it yourself.
Ah, good. So Rabbi Morgenstern points out in Piskei Das, Perek Yud Zayin, Halacha Tez Zayin, Perek Yud Zayin, sorry, Sif Tez Zayin, and Rabbi Karpesis as well in the Mishneres HaTara, that, yeah, that makes sense if we're talking about a... So he says it a little bit differently than what you're saying, Sam. I'll tell you what he says. He says that when it comes to a bodeket, you can only believe a Jewish bodeket. And an observant bodeket, not a nafrius and not a an enosh shomeres Torah mitzvos. Because this is something that you're not really going to be able to be mevarer. Even if you have, someone says it's a maka now, so it's not something you could ever know about. You need to have a certain trained vision and ability to check where this maka is. So she'll say, yeah, there's a maka. Then the next day you'll go to a different bodeket, and the other bodeket will say, there's no maka. Not a seer. Maybe there's a maka yesterday, and it healed by today. Not uncommon. So there you can say, Uman Lamar Nase, Milsa David de Lugluye. It's not Milsa David de Lugluye. So you have to figure out, case by case, you know, how blatant a medical representation is being made, whether it's something that is really Milsa David de Lugluye or not. Mishmar Satara is on page Kuf Nun Vav in the second volume, page Kuf Nun Vav, and again, Perek Yud Zayin Yusuf Tesvav in volume 1. Rabbi Morgenstern's Piskei Das. So you'd have to deal with that on a case-by-case basis, but the argument is, which makes sense, that it's only Milsa Davidu Lugluye if it's really a Vidu Lugluye. So some of these things are very dakistic and subject to change. That's why if you do suspect a maka and you're going to send someone to a bodeket or medical professional, time is of the essence, because there may be a maka now and it may disappear by tomorrow. So you have to get there as soon as you can to have the most accurate read as to what was present at the time that you did the bedik or had the read or whatever the problem was. Okay. Good.
Once you see that there was a maka,
yeah.
You still don't know if that was mostly dumb, or if it was able to.
No, so then you have to. Again, so sometimes it's sufficient to have a maka, even if it's not Yidusha Motzi Adam, Shobashas Vesta. If you need a maka Yidusha Motzi Adam, so then either sometimes you may ask the bodeket to just gingerly touch it to see whether it's Motzi Adam or it looks like the kind of thing that could be Motzi Adam. That's all case specific, and you need someone with sufficient training.
So they can do that?
They can do that, yeah. Okay. So the related topic that we'll talk about now is Sichas HaKeber. That's a corollary to discussing when a gynecological procedure may produce something that has the status of a maka. The second question you have to ask is whether there is Sichas HaKeber. So the Gemara tells us Machlokas Tanam and Daf Kaf Aleph Amud Aleph. The Mishnah has in the beginning of the third parak Hamapelas Chasicha. If a woman is Mapiel a Chasicha, Im Yesh Imadam Tameya Vim Lav Torah, according to Chachamim, if there's Dam that comes out with the Chasicha, she's Tameya. If there's no Dam, she's Torah. If you don't bear Ben Kaku Ben Kaf Tameya, even if there's no Dam, she's still Tameya. What's the machlokas about? Two lines on the bottom. Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak, the Efshar L'Psichas HaKeber V'lo Dam K'Miflugi. The machlokas is, do we say Efshar L'Psichas HaKeber V'lo Dam? Do we assume that anytime the uterus opens up and something comes out, that automatically there's Dam, even if you can't see it? It's impossible to have L'Psichas HaKeber for the uterus to open without some accompanying Dam. Or no, or after Sichas HaKeber V'lo Dam, the fact that the uterus opens doesn't mean that there's necessarily Dam. So that's a machlokes Chachamim and Rabbi Yehuda. Chachamim say after Sichas HaKeber V'lo Dam, and therefore there's no Dam, she's Torah. And Rabbi Yehuda says after Sichas HaKeber V'lo Dam, that even if she doesn't see Dam, she's going to be Timei. How do we paskin? So I should have said, Kali Apsah, Rabin, V'yachar Elohim K'Rabin, V'yishah Pasim Leit V'chachamim, that Efshar L'Psichas HaKeber V'lo Dam, that the fact that the uterus opens doesn't necessarily mean that there was Dam. And that's how the Rambam paskins, Parakei, Halacha Yugimel Yisurei Diyah. Hamapelas Chasicha, Afa Pishihi Aduma, Im Yeshi Madam Tameya, Film Laf Tahora. You have to check whether there's Dam. If there's no Dam, she's Tahora. Says the Ravid Amar Avram, Hada Lo Kilchasa, not true. Daha Sikna, Ve Afshal Tzichasa Kaver Lo Dam Pligi, Rabbanim Sabri, E Afshal Tzichasa Kaver Lo Dam. Right? So the Rambam seems to be passing like Rabbi Yehuda, that Efshar L'Psichas HaKeber V'lo Dam, and the writer says, no, he passed like Chachamim, E Efshar L'Psichas HaKeber, I'm sorry, switched, the other way around. Right. So the Magen Mishnah says the Rav is a Tosofrim, or there's some mix-up with the Shitos. The Rav attributes E Afshal Tzikas Hakevel Adam to Rabbanan, and it's really Rabbi Yehuda. Fine. Bottom line, the Rav of Paskins Afshal Tzikas Hakevel Adam, and the Rav of Paskins E Afshal Tzikas Hakevel Adam, which is also the position of the Rush, and Rav Rishonim. That's how we Paskin in Shulchan Aruch. Seven Kuf Sadi Dalid Seif Beis. Hamapel Spesof Argoim Eino Chasheshes Ladev Al Chasheshes Mishamnida Vafilu Larasa. Says Rama V'nei Sheyev Shalom Tzikas Akavro Adam. So Rama says we Paskin E Afshal Tzikas Akavro Below Adam. Take a look at the Pisei Tshuva here in Simen Kuf Sadi Dalit Sif Katan Ches. Pisei Tshuva for the following Kuf Sadi Dalit Ches. Ein Verheter Shalarav Marit Shevi B'Shem Tshuvas Nachal Shiva B'Isha Sheyashva Al Mashver, a woman who's sitting on the birth stool. She started having contractions. Upasku achaval in mitzirin, and then the contraction stopped, and she goes home, and it's a false alarm. Nitzricha shivinakim, she still needs to count shivinakim. She's tameya. Mishum darmina b'shabes, ve'emesai b'chalin l'shabes mishas tikas hakever. Right, we discussed this last year when we discussed refuah b'shabes. So the Gemara has in Shabbos Kuf Kaf Tes, what is considered Psichas HaKever as far as being Mechal Shabbos for a Yoledes? At what point are you allowed to start being Mechal Shabbos for a woman who's in labor? So three opinions in Amarayim. Either Mishateshiv Al Mashver, when she's sitting on the birth stool, or when the Dam is Shosis Fiyorid, or the Dam starts flowing out, or Mishashe Chavrissa Nosis Sabagapah, from the point that she can't walk on her own anymore, she needs to be supported. So one of those is Mishat Sheteshev Al Mashver, whatever that means exactly in contemporary times, but she's in a position of about to give birth. So you see that just like that's considered a Yoledes for the purpose of being Mechal Shabbos, that's also Psichas Kever for the purpose of making her tameya. He actually psichas hakever l'adam. The Gemara there says it's psichas hakever b'shir shabbos al mashver for hilchos shabbos. Also psichas hakever for hilchos nida. So once she's your shabbos al mashver, even if the contraction stopped, recede, and there was a false alarm, she still is tameya. Then the pesach shuvi across the chavos das here in sifkat and aleph, who argues? How could that be? Just because she starts having contractions and she's Yoshevas La Mashber, she's considered to be Temeo? Yeah, she'll see the Kabbalah Adam. Look at Sif Yudalit here in the end of Sif Kupsad Yudalit. Mechaber writes, Kupsad Yudalit Yudalit, Yotze Dofen, Imlo Yatsadam El Aderach Dofen, Imo Tahor Mileda, Minido Miziva. So you have a C-section. So if the dam only comes out from where you pull the baby, not from the uterus, then the woman is tahora. So you're going to tell me that by the yotzei dofen, there were no contractions, there was no yoshevas al mashver? Obviously there was. We're not talking about a scheduled C-section. We didn't have that back then. So obviously she went into labor. And then something happened, they needed to operate and take the baby out, not through the normal channel. But obviously, there are contractions, there is Yoshevas al Mashver, and yes, she's Torah. So the mere fact that a woman is Yoshevas al Mashver, maybe then Hilchos Pikuach Nefesh, they were Machmir by Pikuach Nefesh, she has to be Mechal Shabbos. But as far as the definition, for Yerideya purposes, she'd still be considered Tahora, unless you actually see Dam. And Tichlikabelo Dam means when something's coming out. You have a Chasika that comes out, so then it's impossible that the Chasika came out without Dam, even if you don't see the Dam. But if nothing comes out, just has some contractions, she's a little bit dilated, she's a Shabbos on Mashver, that's not enough to make her Tamei. There's a Tshuva, the Tshuva Me'ava, the Talmud of the Nod Yehuda, Tshuva Me'ava, Chelek Aleph, Simen Kuf Yudalit. So he writes that he always paskin in this kind of a case, of a woman who starts having contractions, but nothing came out yet, and she's not in heavy labor yet, even though you do Mechal Shabbos, but she's still Tahora Levaila. And he says, a certain Tzur from Yerevan came to me, and he told me he wasn't comfortable with that tzak. The people were asking questions, because the Rehezeb quotes the Menachel Shiva to be Machmir in such a case, even if nothing comes out, even if she didn't see any dam, that she's going to be Tamea. And the Nachal Shiva says, this was the minhag of Noshim Tzidkaniyos in Medina, Poland. This is the practice of all the righteous women who lived in Poland. To be Machmir, once a woman begins having contractions, to render her a Asur L'Vayla, even if the baby doesn't come out. So writes the Tshuva Me'ava, when he heard this, Nithalti v'achazasi tzirim kayaleda. I started having contractions myself when I heard this. Yamarti imshagisi Hashem atov yechaper. If I made a mistake in Tzak, Hashem should forgive me. Ye'ein al shum harab v'morim mishvad v'chova al pi ha-torah leda kol halikutim. He says, don't blame me if I didn't know the Nachal Shiva according to the Behetiv, because a rabbi doesn't have the responsibility of going through every Kitzur book out there. Right? You don't have to know all the Likud Svarim. It's enough if you just know Shulchan Aruch and whoever's printed on the page. Now, we have the Rehetiv on the page, but he's actually quoting a different Rehetiv. But it's enough if you have Shulchan Aruch and what's printed on the page. After that, don't bother me with. But, so, the fact that I didn't know the Nachal Shiva, don't blame. But I happen to think the Nachal Shiva is wrong. With all due respect to the righteous women of Poland, as righteous as they may have been, doesn't think the din is correct. And you can distinguish between Pikuach Nefesh and Hetel Levaila. In Shabbos, Hilchos Shabbos, Pikuach Nefesh, and Anthony Machmir. But as far as the Hetel Levaila, no need to be Machmir. You have to see Dam, or real Psichas HaKeber. And the fact that there were some contractions doesn't make it real Psichas HaKeber. Siddur Tara is a slightly different approach. Siddur Tara also rejects the practice of the righteous Polish woman. But Siddur Tara in Sifkata and Kafei has the following question. That the woman thinks that she's in child, she's in labor, she's Yoshamas al Mashber, she's beginning to have contractions. But in the end, when the hospital sends her home, Eglai Milsa, that was a mistake. They thought she was in the beginning of labor, and she wasn't. So you can't talk about a minhag. The minhag is that if a woman is a Yoshevas al Mashber, then she's a Asur L'Vayla. Yeah, normally she'd be a Yoshevas al Mashber, then you're going to have a baby right away. But here she did, and she went home with all mistakes. They come to talk about a minhag in that milsa doshticha, the unlikely case of a woman who has false labor and then is sent home. Meaning, in principle, the Siddur Tara say, yeah, ain't tzichas hakever l'adam. But here, Igla Nilsa, this wasn't real tzichas hakever. Because the fact that you see it was a false start, it was a false alarm, is indicative that there was never really a tzichas hakever to begin with. The Ramosha thinks that there's an afkamina between the presentation of the Chavis Sass and that in the Siddur Tara. Igra's Moshe, Yaradeya Chelik Beis, Simen Ayin Vav. Yaradeya Chelik Beis, Simen Ayin Vav. What's an afkamina? You have to do Bedika. According to the Siddur Tara, so you think you're in labor, then Igla Nil said that you were wrong, so you don't have to do Bedika. It turns out there was no tzichas hakever, nothing to speak of. It was all a mistake, a false start. So there's no tzichas hakever, you don't have to check. You don't have to be choshesh for anything. According to the Chavis Sass isn't saying it was a false start. He was saying that you, in this situation, we're not choshesh for tzichas hakever because nothing came out. Ain't tzichas hakever below dam is only if something comes out. But if it could be because tzichas hakever, you have to at least check that nothing came out. You have to do bedika. So according to the Siddur Tara, it's nothing with nothing. You don't even have to do bedika. According to the Chavis Sass, you would have to do a bedika. The Moshe thinks that most of the later Achronim assume like the Siddur Tara, that is nothing with nothing. You don't even have to do bedika. Says maybe it's kedai to be machmir for the Chavis Sass, but if she didn't do bedika, she's still muteres l'vayla anyway. That's Igros Moshe Chelik Beis Simen Ayin Vav. Rav Ozner writes, Shuvah Shevet Alevi, Chelik Dalet Simen Kufav. Chelik Dalet Simen Kufav. He writes, nowadays, a woman is in the late stage of the pregnancy, she always goes to the doctor, and the doctor does examinations in month 8, month 9, and they see the woman's already dilated. So some people want to be machmir, even if there's no labor yet, but once she's dilated even a little bit, that there's a tzichas hakever, she's a asur labayla. He says it's not true. Their woman could be walking around the 1 centimeter dilated for weeks. So you can't call that tzichas hakever. What happens if a woman's water breaks? Is that considered tzichas hakever? Is she a sur labayla at that point? So Badi Shulchan writes, Sifkatan Lamed, that she's going to be a sur labayla. What's the source? Kaf Morim Bali Hara. So the post can pass here that she's a sur labayla. She's Tameya. But also post can pass here that she's Torah. Ravosna writes, Anikar Adin, she's Tahora. Lamaisa, you should be Machmir because once the water breaks, then the childbirth is imminent. Shlomo Zalman is quoted as being Mako. If there's no blood that accompanies the water breaking, she's going to remain Tahora. And Rabbi Willis talks in some way as well. If there's no dam, the fact that the water breaks does not make her Tameya in and of itself. What about the beginning of contractions without dam? So Shlomo Zalman is quoted as saying, Shlomo Zalman the Sefer Mari Cohen is quoted as saying, she's Tameya. Rabbi Willis says, in principle, if she doesn't see any dam yet, in the early stages of labor, she's tahora. Once the contractions become strong, so mela, she's going to see dam anyway. Then the second major issue with Sichas HaKever is, what about Sichas HaKever from an external stimulus? Do we say Sichas HaKever L'dam is only where the Sichas HaKever is internal? The Racha and the uterus opens up through natural means. Or even if you insert something into the uterus, a doctor inserts an instrument into the uterus, does that also create Sichas HaKever? But no, the Yehuda assumes no difference. Piska and Shuvah Sivkat and Dalit. Kufsari Dalit Sivkat and Dalit quotes from Nod Yehuda. Nod Yehuda is in Tinyana Yeredeya Simen Kuf Kaf. Tinyana Yeredeya Simen Kuf Kaf. Nod Yehuda writes, no difference at all. Ein Chelot Bein Grama Psicha Bifnim. Bein Grama Psicha Bachutz. Shirofi hefnes etzbo, weighs a kli, upasach bi amakor, doesn't make a difference if she's young or old, misalek estamim, muveris minika, ein tzichas hakever lo dam. Chachmas Adam is skeptical, what's the source? Chasson Sofer is also skeptical. Chasson Sofer, yoredei asim kufayi test. Chasson Sofer says, as a practical matter, there's no way that a finger could get into the makor anyway. Depends on the definition of the makor is, but if it's further up, there's no way a finger would get there anyway. Marsham writes, Chela Dalet Simen Kuf Mem Vav, Chela Dalet Simen Kuf Mem Vav, that he heard from big doctors that even an instrument can't get all the way into the makor. Most folks can assume, like the Noda Yehuda, in principle. In practice, we'll have to see where this is relevant, what situations would you actually get into the Makor. In principle, most folks can assume, like the Noda Yehuda, that Ein Tzichas HaKever L'Adam applies even from an external stimulus. Rav Avadya is more makel with a sex veka. He thinks he can be sorry for Raman to sex veka. Number one, maybe it should assume like the Rambam that actual Tzichas HaKever L'Adam. And maybe you don't assume like the Noda Yehuda. It's not a Sfek Sfek HaMishapech. So he quotes Mar Makom and say you don't need a Sfek Sfek HaMishapech. So he ends up with more of an orientation L'Kula. We're out of time. We'll have to discuss next time briefly what the Shir of Tzichas HaKever is, some practical applications, and then we're going to talk about Dam Shvaferes, which is the again, related issue, and from there to Dan Basula.
The Noda Yehuda also holds, like the Havas Das, that we only say Ein Tzichas HaKever below Dan